What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Texas artist Braden Stewart. How are you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good, dude. Good. Been keeping busy. Been playing a bunch of places. What you been up to?
Dude, so we've actually kind of taken a step back from playing a whole bunch of shows. We've been recording quite a bit lately. So we play a couple shows here and there. Whenever we first started, we played a lot. But right now, we're just kind of in the recording phase of things, trying to get stuff out.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, man, I'm actually a very new fan of yours. Just recently.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just recently, Pat actually sent me a song, one of your songs, maybe like a month ago, but then I saw you were playing at the Raise Rowdy Round.
Yeah,
and you were like fucking shredding. I kept getting like compliments like to you, like from like Nick and Matt who ran it. And they're like, dude, you have to get this guy like on one of your episodes. And it's right up my alley too, because I love the Texas music shit. Like, I'm all about it. So so that's awesome. Man. I'm glad to have seen that and been introduced to you. And what was your experience in Nashville there and that show in general?
Oh, dude, everybody was super receptive to what we were doing. Everybody was super nice. It took us a second to get into the bar, but we did. Because we're all underage, except for my bass player. But it was super fun. Everybody was super nice. The bands were awesome. I mean, like, they're all super talented guys. I'm a guitar player first. So getting to see a whole bunch of those guitar players get up there and rip, man. Like, I've never seen anybody rip before. It was really fun. It was a really cool, like, growing experience for us as a band.
Yeah, man. Was that your first time in Nashville?
So I'd been to Nashville one time before to do some songwriting stuff.
Okay.
With another Texas artist, Don Lewis. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't been back since. And so I was pretty excited to get back there and get to experience more of the scene.
Right on, man. And you mentioned your younger band. And when it comes to that, are you 19? Is that right?
Yes, sir. I just turned 19 2 months ago.
Okay, cool.
My drummer is he's turning 21 in like a month, I think.
Right on.
And then my guitar player / bass player, he's 32. So,
oh, nice.
So we got the whole spectrum.
Yeah, man. But when it comes to being like 19 or like even 21, I guess, not really only just getting into bars and venues and that kind of stuff, but like, do you find it intimidating or like challenging, I guess is a better word, when you like compete with other guys in your like scene at all? Cause you know, you're younger compared to a lot of them. So like, is it challenging to kind of break into that?
So, I mean, at the beginning it for sure was, like when I first started playing, a lot of the older guys from where I'm from, they were pretty, you know, standoffish at first. Especially because like, I had buddies that were already in the scene. You know, I made friends pretty quick. And so I was getting shows pretty consistently. And playing with the older guys, it took longer for me to get accustomed to that, just because there's that disconnect with age and stuff. But definitely getting into bars is a big problem. Getting into venues is a big problem for us right now.
Yeah.
But like now, I mean, people are pretty nice. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that like much has changed in terms of us, but you know, people are nicer, especially the people that know me. They don't really give me any trouble. But it's fun being the young guys in the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's cool to open up a show and, you know, drop the mic and just be like, that was us. And then get off stage and everybody be like, oh, dude, you're only 19.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of my whole bit right now is being young. So
that's right. And like, that's exactly what I was saying. Cause like, I was going to, I think bit is a better word. I was going to use like the word novelty of it kind of, because like, you got like, and like, cause you know, all the eyes are going to be automatically on you. You don't really have to fight for people to watch you. And then like being as good as you guys are, like, it's not like,
What
I mean? Like you hold their attention and stuff. But what do they do? Like when you get into a bar finally, like, and they let you in, like, how does that work? Is like, as soon as you're done, you're out of here, or like,
At the beginning, yes.
Oh, really?
At the beginning, they would, dude. Yeah, they would. I would play. I'd have to come in like 30 minutes before set time, set up, and then they draw a big X over my hands and give me wristbands and show me to the bar staff and be like, do not serve this guy. And then afterwards I had to get out of there. But as I've kind of played, you know, the same bars over the span of time, I've gotten, you know, a lot more leeway. But at the beginning, it was like, it was a weekly thing.
Right.
To like, am I going to be able to get in this bar and really make connections, or am I just going to have to play and get out?
Right, man. Awesome. But yeah, I'm glad you're making leeway for sure. But like going back,
yeah, man.
Going back, like when you were, when you first got into the music scene, especially out in Texas, who were some of the guys that were popping at the time, like that you were kind of looking up to?
Yeah, so Gio had made a pretty big statement in the Texas scene whenever I was first starting. He'd already been big.
Yeah.
But Gio was like popping. Treaty Oak was on the come up. They were already, you know, pretty big, but they were like getting there. Yeah. Yeah, like Dylan Wheeler, I mean a lot of the East Texas guys were like kind of getting some mainstream attention whenever I started. And so I don't really play like Texas country,
yeah.
But the Texas country rock guys were huge inspirations to me, especially in the beginning. An inspiration of just how to model, you know, my Instagram page and you know, my social media and the way I acted, and you know what I'm saying, like they were pretty big inspirations for sure. And yeah, I mean, the music speaks for itself from those guys, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, if you're doing music, you're going to want to, you know, take a page out of their book.
Yeah, for sure. It is a lot of the guys you just mentioned, like, I feel like just Texas being Texas, like people think of it, they think country music. Like for someone like me, at least, who don't live in Texas, like we think country music.
Right.
But obviously that's not the case. But a lot of those guys started out country and then they worked their way into whatever avenue, the grunge shit, the rock shit. Like, were you kind of like that? Like, were you just starting out? Like,
hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That's how you got to get into the scene.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's especially in Texas, like the old heads doing country, they run shit. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing you're going to be able to do to get out of that.
Right.
So like, but for me, like when I was first starting, I was pretty big into like Tyler Childers and Sturgill Simpson and those guys, just because that was what me and my buddies were listening to. And so I started doing that, and, yeah, I mean, that's how you got to get people's attention around here. You have to kind of play what they want to hear, play what they know. And then once you get a little bit of footing and, you know, you kind of discover what you really want to be doing, then you move on to like what we did was I started playing shows, doing country music. And then whenever we put the band together, we started doing blues rock stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And you put it perfectly there with like, you kind of have to play the game a bit. Cause like in my case, what I got to witness, at least what I lived in Stillwater and Texas for a short amount of time. So I kind of got to see a bit of the scene in person. And like the two guys that come to mind were Reed Southall and Austin Mead. Cause those guys, like you got to literally watch them go from their like Americana sound to like, Austin went like way into the rock, but like even Reed went to like his own cool, like really cool sounding bluesy rock shit. So there is a blueprint. Yeah. I think like you're forced to follow it first and then you move on.
That's a great way to put it. There's a blueprint. Reed Southall is a great name to mention because like he went from, you know, doing the not contemporary, but like the, like some of the original, like grittier, like grittier songwriting, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, you know, he did, like he had, you know, not good producing, but it had that charm. And then as soon as he got bigger, he went into like what they wanted to be doing the whole time, which is, you know, the Southern rock stuff. Texas is that's what's popping in Texas right now, especially in the underground, like where I'm playing, dude, it's just a bunch of Southern rock bands.
Right. Where are you playing out there? Like any venues or?
Yeah, so I play a lot in Fort Worth.
Okay.
Fort Worth is the spot for us right now. Fort Worth, I play a lot in Hunt County, which is like, you know, it's got like, it's a whole bunch of small towns that just have venues. It's kind of like Sweetwater Grill out here. It's really small, but it's like the spot where everybody goes to hang out and play. But definitely Fort Worth. We've played a little bit in Houston. We've played a little bit in Austin. But yeah, man, just like the DFW, the Metroplex is like you know, the scene, you know, that's where the scene's at in Texas.
Yeah. And you could really feel it there. Like when you're like if I take like a trip out there and just like go to like all these different clubs, like Mitchell Ferguson, I don't know if you know him, but he's guys like him who are just like you hear like the most unique shit ever. Like, and like, it's a wonder, like these guys need to pop off. You know what I mean? Like you're just waiting for them to blow up.
Yeah. And it's a cool thing about Texas, but it's also kind of the curse is like Texas is, you know, there's a lot of different stuff happening. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some of the jammier guys, like almost like Billy String stuff that's out here, like bluegrass kind of stuff out here. And then you've got like the harder rock stuff, and you have like some of the contemporary stuff. And so it's almost like you don't really know what to pay attention to. So that's kind of what we're trying to pull from and make our own sound. So that way we don't have to follow in anybody's footsteps. We can just kind of create our own thing out here.
Yeah, dude, it's fun.
Texas is a great spot. It's a great spot for music. You know what I'm saying? I love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. And it's funny you mentioned Billy Strings. I was trying to figure out who you remind me of. And it's just, it's like how you like carry yourself. You remind me of Billy Strings. I just watched like, do you get that a lot?
Dude, I get that all the time. I don't see it. I don't understand it at all.
I don't know. It's either. Crazy. I was just like watching you talk and listening to you. I'm like, you remind me of someone.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. And going back to like your style and everything, like listening to it and watching video of you playing like you did at Losers in Nashville, it's like we talked about a little earlier about like the rock versus like country aspect. How would you, if you had to put a label on it, how would you label your sound or your style? Like, what would you describe it as?
Man, me and my band have been talking about it, and I would put it more towards like the Texas rock, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you pay more attention to it, it's blues music. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's just blues music with like some songwriter aspects to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's like our core is blues music, and we just kind of branch off from that. But definitely, I would put us as a Texas rock band.
Sure. Yeah, and I was thinking blues too, because it's funny when you look at all these different genres, like whether it's rap, country, rock, they all like go like this, like in popularity over time. But I feel like blues, at least in the last, I'll say 50 years even, it's like blues has never had that big, you know, spike in modern times. Yeah. So I think that's kind of helps when artists like you, like, I think that gets ears on you because it's something new to people. You know, did you feel that at all?
Yeah. And like, the thing is like guitar music in general is coming back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like guitar instrument heavy music is coming back. It's in the scene and just in popularity. And so just being a guy who plays guitar and my guitar player, just being the way he is, you know, he's so badass. His name's Colt Mathis. So just having two guitar players in the band that are relatively good at their instrument, automatically you have people paying attention. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of a big reason we went towards the bluesier sound was just to kind of stick out and be able to do what we want to do, be able to play guitar on stage. Yeah. But, blues hasn't really fluctuated a lot, but guys like Marcus King are coming, you know, are pretty big in the scene right now. And so it's really helping.
Yeah.
It's really helping us.
Right. You're right about that, man. And like, it's such a crazy combo. I love when like artists have like, when you can't describe what they play, you know what I mean? Like that's the best thing ever. You can't put like a real definite label on, because like when I listened to you, I heard like, I think it was like a mixture of like Stevie Ray Vaughan and like, I'm just talking about your voice, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Childers, a little bit of Zach Bryan even. It's like, I couldn't even put him, you know what I mean? So it's cool to have like that blend. I feel like that's what makes an artist great, when you could, that is their sound. Like it's their own sound. It's unique and everything like that, you know?
Yeah, man. And there's like, for me, the voice thing took a long time to figure out.
Okay.
Because I was getting a lot of like Zach Bryan comparisons, and that's dope. That's a great way to be. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do my own thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I wanted people to be like, this guy sounds like that guy. Yeah. Like he sounds like him. And so it's definitely taken a long time for me to figure out how to stand out amongst, you know, the great raspy voices of our generation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's actually funny. I'm hope I don't. I don't think he'll ever listen to this, and I hope I don't get in trouble. But I was texting. I was texting Matt when he first sent me the video of you playing, and I verbatim I said he sounds like Zach Bryan but with balls, and yeah, like which sounds horrible, but I don't mean it in a horrible way. But you know, it has that edge to it, that gritty edge to it. Like it's awesome. Like I love hearing that, especially in like. Like in a place like Nashville, and it's getting better. It, like when it comes to like the more rock, edgier, grittier stuff, it's like it's cool to see full bands. One, like I know it's a big like songwriter kind of deal. Like you'll usually only get like one person at a time at a round or however they do it. But like it's yep. cool to see like full bands getting up there and just absolutely kicking ass. So like when you when you formed your band, like I guess just tell me how you guys all met and how'd you put it together.
Yeah, so, man, like, the original group that we had, we started in high school, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? We played a couple shows, but my bass player, he moved away just recently, but he's coming back.
Okay.
But I met him in high school. We grew up together. We went to school together our whole lives, and whenever I first started doing music, I was like, just learn bass so you can play with us. And so, and then throughout time, the band kind of changed, but the group that we have now, I met my drummer. His name's Aiden Klutz. I met him through a mutual friend. My buddy Cole, he showed me. He was like, yo, this kid's band just broke up. Like, you know, do you need a drummer? And I was like, actually, I do need a drummer. And so he joined probably 7 months ago, 7-8 months ago, around that time. And so we started doing shows like that. And then I had a buddy, you know, Colton Mathis. I just talked about him. He was playing shows in the area, and he's like one of the best guitar players around Texas, I fully believe. And I was like, hey, man, like, would you join for like a couple shows? Because we had some big shows coming up, but we didn't want a three-piece for him.
Yeah.
And he played the shows with us, and then he just stuck around. So, yeah, you know, I met Colton through the scene, Aiden through a buddy, and I grew up with my bass player. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like pretty tight-knit, I guess.
For sure.
When you do get an instant like that, because you always hear about like a new guy coming in and playing and like, oh, it was just like, it was like magical. They just snapped right into place like nothing. Is that yes. true? Is that how it really works? Or did it take a while to gel? Or
So for Colton, my guitar player, no. He learned the songs in like a couple days. We practiced once and he like really amplified the sound and you know, just the energy on stage, you know what I'm saying? He's so good at guitar and he's just such a cool guy on stage. And so that really helped immediately. So that was a pretty cool gel. Our drummer's a pretty big, like Grateful Dead fan.
Oh, nice.
And so he plays a lot more like laid back.
Yeah.
And so it took us a second to be like, yo, like play with some ass, man, mm-hmm. like give us something to feel off.
Yeah.
And he's picked up and if you saw the videos from Losers, he was wailing, man. Yeah. He gets into it. And so it was a slower progression with the drummer, not a long progression, but with our guitar player, it was right immediately, away. Man, he was in.
Awesome, man. When you write, obviously when it comes to the musical element, you said earlier you were a guitar player first, right? So like,
yep.
So I'm assuming like when you put together a song, is that what most of your attention goes towards? And then like, not saying the lyrics are an afterthought, that's not what I'm saying,
right.
But like, is there more like details and are you more nitpicky with the guitar element and the musical element of it?
So it's weird. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to songs. Mm-hmm. So like it takes me a long time to be able to put something together. A lot of the writing process for me is revising and editing guitar and words.
Okay.
So like I'll have a couple lines that I want to use in a song. I'll have a cool melody that I want to use on guitar and I'll just try to kind of mesh them together and then slowly build that. So it's almost like I put as much attention towards the guitar as I do the words.
Okay.
For sure. But yeah, like I started playing guitar. I didn't start writing songs. You know, so I didn't start singing. And so naturally, whenever we get to writing the guitar parts, it's a lot more fun.
Right.
And it's a lot more like we can really build a cool thing. But the words are hard, man. The words take a while for me.
Yeah. Like when did you, I guess in comparison to when you started playing guitar, when did you start to like songwrite?
So I started writing songs my sophomore year of high school, mm-hmm. not very seriously, but like I'd gotten an acoustic guitar because my parents were like, yo, you can't be playing your electric guitar at night. It's way too loud. It's waking everybody up. And so I got an acoustic and I just started writing songs. They were terrible. But my junior year, the summer between my junior year and my sophomore year, I had written some songs that I liked and I saved up some money for some studio time. And I recorded the songs. I recorded like drums, bass, vocals, everything on it. And so I put that out. And then after that, I was hooked into the songwriting stuff. I've recently taken that music down, so you can't find it. It's terrible. but yeah, like I started getting really serious about it going into my senior year. I started listening a lot of like more songwritery stuff. Jason Isbell was huge for me. Mm-hmm. I started meeting songwriters in the area and I was like, this is awesome. I want to take this more seriously.
Right on, man. So do you co-write a lot with like other musicians or like who do you like writing with other people or more with yourself?
Writing with other people is really hard for me.
Okay.
I've tried it a bunch. My songs are super honest mm-hmm. about myself or are about, you know, other situations. Yep. Or just anything, you know what I'm saying? They're very, very blunt. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to get that point across with other songwriters. But yeah, I've written like a couple songs with some other people, you know, I mean, and it's always fun. It's always a good time, but I use the songs that I write by myself.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. And it's cool to hear that like you, started with guitar and then like, you just liked it so much. You're like, I don't know, that whole process of that to songwriting to now you're performing your own songs in a band. Like it, and especially like, you know, you get it a lot that you're a young guy, but like, that is crazy that you're only 19 years old and you already have this going for you. Like, do you get that a lot? Like that has to feel like you're way ahead of the game, I guess you could say.
Man, it's weird because I don't feel like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like I'm way ahead of the game. I feel like I'm just another guy in the scene,
right?
You know, it's just trying to make his way.
Yeah.
But I do get that a lot. People are always telling me like, man, like you're so young for what you're doing. And I try to kind of not brush that off, but try not to let that get to my head. You know what I'm saying? I want to constantly get better and constantly, you know, I have a lot of time to do that. And that's kind of what I'm more excited about is getting to use the time that I haven't spent doing other things with my life, just focusing on music.
Is that hard to do? Because, like, I assume you just got out of high school, right? Like, you're done?
Yeah, I graduated last year, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so, like...
It's...
No, go ahead.
No, my bad. Yeah, like, it's weird seeing, like, all my buddies going to college, and I'm still home,
right.
Just writing songs. But, and that was a hard thing for me to get over at first, because I was like, man, am I doing the right thing?
Right.
But, I mean, everything in my heart is telling me, like, this is... I could have a good thing going as long as I don't mess it up.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much where I'm at right now. But it is weird seeing my buddies like coming home from college, you know, with a year under their belt.
Dude.
So
yeah, like I didn't go to college either, man. I know exactly what you mean. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, but like, you know, at the end of the day, shit works out, especially with what you're doing, man. You're already diving into it. Like, that shows maturity like right away, I think. Like, being like, I'm going to, this is what I want to do, I'm going to dive into it, and I'm going to play these shows in Nashville, I'm going to write these songs, release these songs, play these shows in general. It's like, that shows, like, you know, I guess confidence and motivation and all that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
dude? I'm locked in, brother.
Yeah.
I mean I tell people, like, because I started playing guitar at a pretty young age. I started playing when I was like 9, 10. Mm-hmm. And I immediately knew, like, this is awesome. I've always been a huge, you know, music, and you know, I've just always loved music.
Yeah.
I grew up with music, always playing in the house and stuff, you know, like the typical artist thing, you know, you're just surrounded by it. But, I tell people that, like, I'm glad that I didn't have to worry. Like, I knew what I wanted to do with my life before I had time to really worry about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I already knew, like, I'm going to try this and at least say that I tried. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's working out. You know, it's been a really, really fun journey. I've been gigging for like coming up on 3 years now.
Man, that's nuts.
So Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's so crazy, but it's awesome. You know, it's a great, it's the best thing going on in my life right now.
That's awesome, man. Was that hard to balance when you were in school, like gigging and all that?
Oh yeah. Big time. Cause I was working too.
Oh yeah. So you had three things going on.
Three things going on at once. I was playing sports at the beginning of my senior year and I quickly got out of that. Yeah. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do all this. But yeah, man, like I did a whole bunch of dates my first year, like my senior year, and I missed out on a lot. You know, I didn't go to, I didn't really do a whole lot my senior year. I just played shows.
Yeah.
But I just kept telling myself, I was like, just, you know, it's going to work out, yeah. You know, just keep doing this. Like, looking back, I wish I would have, you know, like gone to prom, but you know what I'm saying? Like that would have been cool. I could have taken that weekend off, but no, man, like it was hard when I was working for sure. Just cause I was never home. Mm-hmm. But once music started picking up, I was like, I'm just going to dedicate my time to this, you know, make sure I'm passing in all my classes, make sure that I've got everything taken care of, and then leave Thursday, come back Sunday and redo it.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's hard to do. Like when, I mean, hell, I mean, I'm 26 and I still struggle with balancing out like partying and doing like fun shit and like all the other stuff you have going on. So like, I know what you mean. Like that's tough when you have to finally like, especially with you, with the music and college coming around the corner, it's like, you're at a crossroads there, man. And like,
right.
And choose what you want to do, especially because both are huge commitments. College is just as big of a commitment. You know what I mean? So it's not like you just choose what you wanted to do. And that's great to hear. And I'm glad you're, at least it looks like you're killing it. Do you feel like you're killing it right now, man?
it feels like it. You know what I'm saying? It feels like something's going right. I just want to get music out now, man. I just want to get music with my band out. I feel like after that happens, I'll be a lot more confident in everything. Cause I just have acoustic music out right now. You know what I'm saying? I just recorded like a whole bunch of songs acoustic and put them all out like in a couple months span. But yeah, I want to get some full band stuff out. Cause I feel like once that happens, you know, the conversation will be different. I'll be like, yeah, man, this shit's dope.
Well, man, you know what I'm pumped for that. And but let's hit on some of your music here for a minute. Your latest release was Claire, right? Your EP.
Yep.
It came out in March around then.
Yeah. March 29th, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah. But dude, yeah, I re-listened to it today, and, Black Smoke, man, like that's the one stands out for me. It completely blew me away, especially with what was the girl's name who was doing like the backing vocals?
Shelby Stone, man. Shelby Stone. She's out here in Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of her, man. She is a killer. She'll be on this next record we're putting out, or these next couple songs. She'll be on one of them. And I mean, dude, she is incredible. She's got one of the most powerful voices, most powerful stage presence, great songwriter. She's got some music coming out this year that I'm super hyped for. She's gonna be huge, dude. I'm so lucky to have a song with her. But yeah, man, she came in, we had the song recorded, and she came in one take, just did all the harms, blew us away, and then she just left. I was like, how do you even do that? Like,
did you
she really crushed it.
Did you just like hit her up through the DMs? How'd you get her out there?
Oh, I met her in Fort Worth.
Okay, so
I
met her in Fort Worth. Okay.
Yep, yeah, I had known her for a bit. And then I sent her, we were just talking one day, and she had sent me a demo that she was doing. And then I sent her just a rough recording of Black Smoke. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'd love to sing harms on that. And I was like, are you being for real right now? Like, let's be real. Are you going to do this? And dude, she came through. And I think she makes that song, man. Like, you know, the bait, like just the words and me singing it sounds good. But once she comes in, it's like
great added
this
touch.
It's the cherry on top, man.
Yeah, man. Black Smoke was definitely like big standout for me on. I loved it. Is there, what was the story behind it? Any particular little story behind it or anything?
Man, I mean, like, when I was younger, like not younger, that's a dumb thing to say. Earlier in high school, like, you know, I hit my growth spurt later than everybody else. I sucked at sports. And so that whole song is basically just like taking a bunch of different experiences that I had through school and like with friends and stuff and just like, you know, sadder stuff.
Yeah.
Cause I don't have anything else to write about. I just write sad songs right now.
Yeah, man.
I haven't lived enough to write anything that's like just not sad. But yeah, I mean, there's no story in particular, but Yeah, that song was just kind of an amalgamation of a whole bunch of different things. I wanted to write it pretty open to interpretation, open to, you know, like if you're going through something, then you can make it about whatever you're going through. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that was the goal with that song. You know, it wasn't really about anything in particular. It was just like, here are these words and here's my experience. Make it yours.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And that's like the best song to write, I think. Just you could apply to anything, anyone's problem.
For sure.
Yep. So where do you record at when you make these?
So those records were done with 301 Productions. They're out of Richardson. Ethan Whitaker runs that out there. He's, you know, he's the homie. We recorded all those songs in his house, man. It was just me and acoustic guitar. I recorded them in his house. He's great at what he does. So it doesn't sound like they're recorded at his house, but, but yeah, man, we had so much fun recording out there. It took us like 5-6 months to get all the songs totally down.
Yeah.
The way I wanted them to be and the way he was happy with. But yeah, I'm happy with the project, man. I think that, you know, those songs, those are like the first couple songs I had written, you know what I'm saying, that I was playing on stage.
Yeah, they're great.
But, yeah.
They're great, man. It turned out well too with the production and everything. And you
for sure.
Yeah, when you were talking about like you can only write sad songs right now, which I know what you mean. Like it's
right.
Is that like have you ever thought like basically, what's your method when it comes to writing? Like, does it just kind of spill out? Do you ever say like, oh, I'm going to try and write a happy song today, and it turns out to be like a more sadder song, low tempo-ish? Or how does that usually work for you?
So like, I'm still figuring that out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes the song will all it takes is for me to sit down with my guitar and start, and the song comes out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of songwriters will tell you that. There's not really a method right now that I have. It's more so like I'll have like a couple lines that I want to use that I've heard people say or that I've thought, or a song on the new record right now is like one of the lines in it is like, am I stubborn or am I just scared? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that was just a thought that I had, you know, talking to my dad about something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like the whole basis is just like, thinking things, writing them down in my phone, and then playing guitar, having that like good bass. I usually don't have an intent. I just come into it and just let whatever happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I definitely would like to write, like on this next record, we have some more up-tempo, not incredibly depressing songs. So that'll be fun. Those are fun to play on stage. But yeah, I'm breaking out of that kind of thing. The acoustic record, it was all just sad songs. So we're breaking out of that.
That's all.
But yeah, not much of a method right now. Still trying to work that out.
Yeah. Hey man, but that ain't a bad thing. I know they call it that sad boy country, man. It's all the rage right now. People loving it.
It is.
But let's talk a bit about like, what can you tell us about anything new you got coming out or coming down the pipe?
So, we recorded 7 songs just recently. We're still trying to figure out what exactly we're going to do with them. We like the way they sound. We like the songs. We're just trying to figure out the rollout plan for all of them. Mm-hmm. We're covering a Ryan Wilcox song, okay, and that'll come out first.
Yeah,
Ryan Wilcox is also on Yellow Rose. That Mexican Wind song, that's yeah. Ryan Wilcox.
Yeah, I'm
song.
Familiar with him. Actually.
Dude, he is a killer. He's awesome. But that'll be the first single that'll come out. I'm wanting to put that out within the next 2 months minimum because I want to get these songs rolling. But yeah, we have stuff in the chamber. We're just waiting on it, man. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get everything right. I got to get better on TikTok and all that kind of thing. I got to play the game a little bit.
Yeah, man, it's tough.
Before I'm totally comfortable with putting songs out, I gotta get all my ducks in order.
Yeah. The social media game, man. Like cause Raise Rowdy is literally all about social media and like, I'm the worst person at it. I'm just like, it really is hard to get used to and hard to, cause like there's the algorithm's real, man. And like, it's fucking,
and
it's confusing.
Dude, there's some people that are great at
it.
And I'm like, what are you doing right now? Why are you posting at 8 a.m. And then like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and then 8 o'clock at night. Like, how do you do that every day?
Exactly that. Cause Matt was like, Matt's the co-owner. You probably met him out at Losers, but
yep.
He was like, hey, I got some advice for you. Cause I run the Rowdy Alternative account and they run the raised the main account. And he's like, you know what? I don't know why you aren't getting as many followers coming in daily. He's like, try posting two memes or like a clip and a meme today. Like instead of just one, I'm like, all right, they ain't going to fucking make a difference. And I did. And bruh, I got like 200 more followers. I'm like, are you a wizard? Yeah. How the hell do you know this? Like, it doesn't make sense.
And like for me, dude, I'm just not very tech savvy when it comes to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't like, if it wasn't for me doing music, I wouldn't have any socials. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, but I got to get better at it. Like, it's a requirement at this point.
I know. It's sad.
Pat the other day texted me. He was like, hey, man, we got to get the social media going. And I was like, all right, man, I'll give it a shot.
Well, once this is done, I'll have a bunch of clips I'll just send you, and you could use those for some posts or something. But get Pat off your ass for a bit. But
yeah, dude.
Have you looked into, like, you were talking about, like, how you wanted to roll out the new music. Have you looked at all into how like releasing a single and another single versus releasing just like a whole album at once? Like, have you really looked into the differences there at all?
Yes, that's been a big thing that I've been, you know, talking to some of the more, you know, like successful artists in the area. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good at that, and so we're trying to get to a point to where we're releasing music like every 6 to 10 weeks.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then around like whenever we have like a certain allotted amount of songs out, then we look at putting out a record. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, man, like what's cool about us is we're pretty efficient. You know what I'm saying? We write a lot. I write a lot. And we put together a lot of songs. And so that we have a lot to choose from, which is cool. But it's kind of hard for us to pick out what songs we want to put out because my band puts in as much effort as I do.
Yeah.
And with all this stuff, the only thing that is different is I write the words,
right?
You know, I write the songs. But yeah, like we're trying to figure all that out. I think we have a pretty good, you know, rough blueprint of what we want to do. But yeah, man, once the ball gets rolling, it's not going to stop. I don't think. I think we're going to have a pretty good, couple releases.
Dude, that's awesome to hear, man. I'm really excited for you and see what's going to come up. And I know you said that you guys are kind of stepping away from the shows at least for a while, but do you have any shows at all like planned that you want to promote or anything like that?
Yeah, man. All of them are out here in Texas. Yeah. So if you're listening and you're
in Texas,
I think
that's most of our audience. They all come from Texas.
Cool. Well, yeah, the Texas guys will know about them, Dirty Roses. Mm-hmm. We're opening up for them in Terrell at the Silver Saloon on August 23rd. That'll be a big deal. We're playing with Joint Custody next month in Midlothian. I'm hoping to get on the road with those guys. They're awesome. They're super duper fun. They're a great band, super tight. We're just doing a whole bunch of opening shows, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's great, though, man.
Yeah, I think we're about to book another show with Cole Barnhill.
Mm. I just trying had to get him that
in order. Dude, Cole's so nice. Yep. His band is super tight. Great voice. Cole's like one of my favorite rock guys in the area. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's really putting the work in and showing off the more hard, the edgier
heavier
side
stuff,
of
yeah.
the rock stuff. Yes, that's I'm a son of the rock scene. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's what I grew up listening to. And so that really sticks out to me. But yeah, we just got a whole bunch of opening dates this year, man. I'm going to post a schedule this week, but yeah, man, if you're listening, go follow me. You know what I'm saying? You'll be able to see.
Yeah. But, let's get to that too. You have any socials you want to throw out there? Make sure people know where to find you.
Yeah, man. My TikTok is Braden Stewart Texas, I believe. My Instagram is Braden Stewart Texas. I got like Facebook. I got, you know, everything.
Yeah.
It's all just Braden Stewart or Braden Stewart Music. Yeah, go follow me everywhere. I post every once in a while.
Hell yeah, man. But Braden, man, thanks for hopping on. This was a fun conversation. I'm glad I got to talk to you.
Absolutely, man. Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, dude. And I'm telling you, like, it's cool to see, like, this new class out there in Texas, like, you know, rising up, especially, like, guys like you with the rock music and just seeing what's to come, man. And I'm really excited for it, and you should be too, man.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to be where I'm at right now. All the homies are doing good, and yeah, I'm working my way.
Awesome. So everyone, you heard him. Go follow Braden Stewart on all the socials. Give him a Google. Also, give Rage Rowdy a Google and Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials as well. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Braden, and we'll see y'all next time.
Hell yeah. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause baby, I'm down to get dirty with you and me and some Tennessee whiskey on us. We ain't gotta get no hurry. Take your time, make you feel just right, make a mess of this summer.